Blog Talk Radio.
Class is in. It's time for Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Sit back, relax, learn, and listen. Pick up the phone and get involved in the conversation. 858-357-9137. Listen and learn who you are. Learn the true history of how society was physically built. Learn the history of who you really are. Learn the history of your people. It's Breaking Chains and History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence through history. Being brought to you by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College.
Good evening, and God bless each and every one of you. This time again for a history talk. And when I say, when I'm talking about history, before I go into doing our history to the origin of mankind, and before I talk about the past history of African Americans, Black Hebrew Israelites, and other than where the origin of man started from and who were the original man, what color they were, how they looked, and where did they come from. And before we deal a little with genetics, there are some current events that we need to understand right now. Right now we are dealing with George Floyd. And dealing with George Floyd, we know that this is something that have been going on for centuries, that policemen and otherwise have, from lynchings to burnings to literally beating to death African-American males. And this is what's going on right now. I've been watching the starting of the trial of Chavis, the guy that put his knee on George Floyd's neck until he suffocated him. And I've heard the opening statement, and a picture is worth a thousand words. There are so many individuals that testified today and yesterday earlier about what occurred with the George Floyd. I noticed that the defense attorney has been trying to, as usual, when a policeman kill a black kid, they try to paint that person to being this brute, bully, drug addict. And the person is not on trial for having a drug habit, but a policeman killing an innocent person. And nevertheless, that it continues, it does not fail that you try to paint this person in a negative perspective. It does not matter if you were doing drugs or you did drugs before or you had a drug habit that you've been arrested before. If you didn't do anything to deserve to be killed or murdered by an officer, the crime does not fit the punishment. You're not armed. You're not trying to kill them. You should not be beat to death, nor should you be killed for even resisting an officer. You should not be killed. Mr. Floyd was restrained and in handcuffs. He had people on his back, on his leg, and he had Chavis with a knee on his neck. They thought it was 8 minutes and 46 seconds, and they found out, no, it was 9 minutes. It was so, and these individuals that witnessed were the one with cell phone video and everything. And I find it ironic that they would come and say he had a bad heart. Yeah, he had a bad heart and he was on drug and that he had a legal amount of drugs in him that might have been legal enough to kill him. Well, first thing, you can't say it was a legal amount to kill him because statistics, they take a statistic. What could harm me may not harm the next person. the dose that it takes to put me under may not put another person under. So it's just built upon trying to standardize different things. So that's not relevant. But all these things does not make any sense, because if he wouldn't have put his knee on his neck and his knee in his back, and the guy telling him he can't breathe, his whole body is hurting, he's going numb, he wouldn't have died. A fireman or fire lady that worked for the fire department. And you know, they first responded. She kept asking him, "Take it, see, do we have a pulse?" They never checked to see that this young man have a pulse. They did not try to see anything about this young man. Stayed there with knee on the neck. If you notice, he repositioned himself to put more pressure on his neck. But this is not anything new. This has been going on for hundreds of years. Myself, in 1972, I received a horrible beating at the hands of policemen when a police was murdered right here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for something I did not do, but I was arrested for it, and I was terribly beat real bad and thrown into jail and the holes and the lockdown. So I've witnessed firsthand myself. This is not something that someone else tell me about the horrible treatment that white police or white folk will give to a young black individual kid, because they think that we're subhuman and we are the original human beings. But I will get to that next. But there's so much going on to say we're dealing with a pandemic. We're dealing with a divided country since 46 President Donald Trump. He divided the country, and he was a racist, bigoted, misogynist, xenophobic. Okay? He was a demagogue. This guy just totally broke the cohesiveness of the country apart. I mean, and other things that glued us to be one nation under God. It never really became that, because we have never been in America. And we have to address this. And it's time that all African Americans that's in Africa, we want, many of us are black Hebrew Israelites, come to the realization and stand up and speak out and let folk know that we're tired of being treated subhuman, and we supposed to accept everything off of everyone, and continuously to see whites kill blacks and Nigerians let them go. And I want to just say this, and I want to be on record as saying I really don't think that I think it's six whites on the jury, and it's always that, and it's usually going to be 12. I think it might be four blacks and two mixed race individuals, race of other. It's always going to be more blacks on whites on a jury than whites. So it's hard for you to convict a white person, or especially a policeman, because whites are going to take the police side. The evidence, you can look at the facts. Rodney King, you saw it happening in L.A. when Rodney King was beat unmerciful. I mean, it was on television. It was viewed, but they were still found innocent. A man with no gun being crowded around with eight police or more just beating this man half to death, and they were found innocent. It wasn't until the federal government intervened that anyone did any time. And I'm not looking for this policeman to do any time. If it is, it's going to be a very short length of time he's going to get, because this is, now notice what I'm saying to you, this is America. Now, be it may, Caucasians or European Americans, they don't like to talk about the savagery that they allowed to be perpetrated on people of other races. Like right now, over 3,800 Asians been really beat down in the last couple of years, been crimes against Asians. They just beat her. This lady was almost 80 years old. But now this was an African-American, and someone need to whoop him. He stumped this old lady. Someone need to give him that same treatment. He need to be locked up. See, I want to let everyone know this. I am a Christian man, and I think what's good for, like my mother always said, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. I don't care what color you are. If you do the crime, do the time. If you're white and you do the crime, do the time. Not just the way you've been doing the African-American or Hispanics and locking us up in outrageous numbers, and white kids do the same crime and go home free. But now, so now we're dealing with George Floyd, but also it's getting this outrageous number of innocent Asians who fought in wars, not as many wars as African-Americans have fought in defense of America, are now tasting the wrath of these bigots. And what's so ironic about it is not enough Caucasians stand up against it. I've seen more Caucasians stand up with George Floyd than ever before. And I was surprisingly amazed at it. I really was, because I had never seen that many stand up and protest and ready to riot as I've seen before. Our president seen people could go and if they did a treasonous act when they went to the Capitol and broke in and broke windows and went in there talking about killing the vice president and the others that was there to vote to for President Biden to become the take the office. But yet President Trump didn't really down. I had one guy tell me he down. No, he did not. He said one thing about them. The next thing he said, they were good people. Keep up the good work. That's his words. The man is born racist. His father and grandfather was Klansmen. His grandfather was a pimp and sold drug and a drug dealer. That's where the money come from. And his father was a Klansman, and he was arrested at a Klans rally. These things could be looked up. He was the person that so many blacks, Herschel Walker and many others, voted and say he's such a good man. I don't know if they don't have the intelligence to understand what a bigot is. I don't know, but I know one thing. That is very hypocritical to say that this man is a good man. I don't care what rapper or who says what. This man is a bigot. He's a misogynist. He's a xenophobic. And this man was no good for this country. And again, I talked about, I addressed the fact about George Floyd and the dilemma that's going forth. America will reveal itself in the punishment that's issued out to ex-officer Chauvin. Are we really ready to say that we're going to punish those who do the crime, regardless of if you're a policeman? If you're talking about the pressure was on you and you was nerved up and you killed someone, that's another thing to you. Well, you shouldn't take the job. In the military, they tell you to see what you're shooting. I thought this person had a gun. Well, in the military, you taught to see what you're shooting. You just don't shoot. It might be a kid. And that's part of police training. When they go through from room to room, they have kids coming, might walk out of the room, and you have a gun. You just don't shoot because it don't have to be the criminal. So they've been trained. And so all these lies that have been manifested and trying to put the blame on George Floyd, he has a bad heart. He had all this, yes, but he was living until you put your knee on his neck. Again, we're doing that, and we're facing also, we need to really get involved with this. A while back, my dear friend and facilitator, Reverend Roger Williams, we talked, and we were talking about how in Georgia they're trying to do away with the voting rights. Now, it's really important that we stay alert to this. And I see now we're going into the holidays, and I'm from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we're going to have crawfish, and we're going to have all these things that we're going to have, and oh, we're going to have picnics, and we do that year-round. We just eat and have little parties, and we enjoy ourselves. But as African-Americans, we need to stay wide awake, and I need to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed looking at what's going on around us, because they're taking away our voting rights. Now, it is true that the voting rights was put in the Constitution in 1890. But what made it real hard for blacks to try to vote, they had the Klansmen out there to try to stop you from voting. They had a literacy law that stated that you need to be able to recite the Constitution of that state. And which, if you don't know how to read and different other things, how can you learn it? Because they didn't allow the slaves to learn to read and so many other things. And then they had a voting tax that was put there. The voting tax, or poll tax as it was called, would equate to a 2 month pay. So who could go? You wasn't making much any money because you was sharecropping. So who could take 2 months of their salary and pay to vote? Where are you going to find the money to live off at that time? You know, in 1865, what they call the 15th Amendment gave civil rights and the right to vote. But now, after they took it away, okay, what in essence, what the voting rights was in 1865. But they started doing things to hinder blacks from voting by the Klan, and that was in 1890, and that's when they had the literacy test and the voting, that where they had the poll tax and other things like that, and they're trying to know the state constitution. They even had the audacity to have a jar of marbles, and you had to tell them how many marbles were in that jar to get the vote. They couldn't do it. A white, no other race of individuals could have done that. So right now they're trying to draw that back. Even though only 32% of blacks live in the state of Georgia, that only 32% of the people that live in Georgia are black. And still they're trying to scale back the black voting because they know all they need is about 20 more percent of white voters to vote the same way with blacks, and you have a winner. But right now in Georgia and Texas, they're trying to restrict. These are the restrictions. They're trying to get rid of the early voting counts, the photo ID. They don't think that you need the mobile voting. You know, they go around with these Winnebagos and these different things to vote in. The absentee voting, that was coming in late. And then these mail-in drop-off boxes, they want to do away with it, and they say it's about fraud. Now, I want to explain something to you before we really go in depth. Is the fact that the irregularities that they found wasn't against President Biden about the voting. It was the Republicans that they found where some of it was wasn't right, where it was improprieties done for the voting irregularities, and it was Republican. It was the GOP. It wasn't the Democrat. If anyone was receiving any help from it, it was the GOP. But nevertheless, President Biden won. And then really, if you don't keep your eyes open, if we don't raise our voices of it, we're going to lose and go back all the way past the 60s. Now, and what I'm trying to say is we need to stand up and let them know in Louisiana, in Alabama, and all over America, Midwest, everywhere. We're not going to stand for this. If you pass it, it's not going to be that we agree with you. We totally disagree with every form that you have, and that we will stand up for ourselves. Now, I want you to know this, because many of us work, and we have Caucasian friends, and we have Caucasian co-workers. And oftentimes you'll talk about the rioting, the looting, and the burning, and that they say peaceful protest. Well, I want you to give them what John Lewis say when you answer them with this. John Lewis made a statement, say he marched with Dr. King, and they believed in peaceful protest. He did not believe in rioting, looting, and burning. But he didn't end it there. He put a but, a conjunction. You know, if you study your English, your coordinating conjunction, those that join sentences together, and but, non, or come together. And he say, but if there was no racial injustice, if they were not killing blacks, if they were giving blacks equal civil rights, equal rights, that there was never any looting and burning and rioting unless a black is killed, unless it's about civil rights. You want us to be beat by dog, beat with billy clubs, some of us, you know, being murdered, be it by guns and everything else, and just keep our mouth closed and just say, well, you're killing us. You never listen. You haven't listened that to our plight in over 400 years. Why would you just listen at it if we just politely say something? And I'm a firm believer. I don't believe in looting and burning and rioting. I don't believe this. I don't believe in it. But I know that it never came about by just blacks just did it. It was always something that was done to African Americans, and that's what they went into, and that's how they retaliated by doing those things. It's been so many people killed. A young lady paramedic that was killed. The guy got away with it. He's gotten away with it. The only thing charge he got was he shot a straight bullet, went into another farmer, which did not hit anyone. But it was the wrong house. You took somebody's life. The young African American in Dallas, Texas, where this white police lady goes in talking about she thought it was her fault. You're allowing people to go with everything. Trayvon Martin, the poor 12-year-old kid that was shot in the park. Come on. No one's going to jail. And you ask why we react the way we do. You murder us, and we supposed to just stay silent? I am not telling anybody about any rioting, but we need to speak up. And if someone asks you, ever tell you about the rioting that blacks are doing, they're burning places, why are you doing that, and why are you doing it? Well, you're not being mistreated. First of all, I would tell white America, look, first of all, you're not being mistreated. You don't have to do what we go through because you have privilege. Your children don't have to train your children, your black male children, what to say to the police when you stop. You don't have to pray that the police don't kill them or beat them half to death. You don't have to do all those things. You don't have to pray that if they get in minor trouble, they go to prison and your child get a probation and come home, and then he could go there with a record and get a job. He could go with a criminal record and get a job, and it's hard for black kids to go without a criminal record and get a job. And it's time that we speak up and be loud about it, but loud but intelligent. Have your basis for your facts. If you even have to Google, you know, your phone or your laptop, you know, your tablet, and find out what the statistics are with the criminal justice system. Find out what's going on. So when you speak, that you speak from a stance of power and knowledge, not out of ignorance, because that's when they want to talk about you, when you don't know what you're talking about. Amen. God is a good God. And for this being Christianity, being a white man's religion, that is so far from the truth. In reality, really, maybe it is your religion, and it is came from blacks. Amen. Now, I want to go on at this. I want to just touch on some different issues that we're going through right now, and I know that every time you turn on your television that you're going to see about George Floyd's trial and about how many Asians have been, 3,800 in the last couple of years have been, you know, assaulted. This has been going on. And then also I addressed earlier about the divisiveness, how the divisiveness of our country, about the racist culture of people, how they're standing up against those who are, they're standing up against those who are protesting. They're standing up against those who are trying to make changes in their life. Every leader that we have, if they are a real leader, a true leader, and they cannot buy them out, they murder them. So we need to stay focused, continue to read, continue to study, continue to watch your news. Although it's hard for African Americans to really get the word out to their own people, because we don't control NBC, we don't have a media where we own our own media. Whites own NBC, ABC, CNN, Fox. Everything is owned by whites, but now there are CNN and MSNBC. They are trying to give you a better stance than Fox, which is look like it just conducted just a bunch of bigots that's there, because anything Donald, our ex-president, whatever he say, they went with it, regardless to if it was idiotic, the things that he said, and the individuals that could follow the man that said that about drinking Lysol and bleach. And if this man have sense enough to be a president, they got a man eating cheese on the moon running backwards in a swimming pool. And you know that can't happen. There's no gravity there. So we really need to really come together as unite as a people and defend ourselves and make the Constitution be with itself. If it says all men are created equal and we're endowed by our own creator with certain inalienable rights, among those rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, so let it be that stand for everyone. Although I know the Constitution was written while we were yet slaves, we were chattel. And I know that when they so-called freed us, we were not citizens. So, but never let any of them ever tell you you need to go back where you came from, because they need to go back to Europe, and that would only leave some Africans, because they had some Africans, dark-skinned people here. And matter of fact, the Native Americans were real dark-skinned people, so they're not the white people you see on television or some of the Native Americans today, which are really Caucasian, that have been breeded with Caucasian, but they were the color of a copper penny. Oh, you could Google it and find out why the Indian was said about they were copper like a penny, and you'll find out that it was Google and come back and say it was because of their skin color. And a skin color, that's the copper penny, is the color of African America. Amen. So that just a little point I want to say. But now I want to get off into, again, I always do this because I'm always getting new individuals that's tuning in. And I think because, and this is Reverend Kemp, or Dr. Kemp, or whatever you want to call me, Levert. We are the people, we have very low self-esteem because of the way school is taught in America and around the world. If one go to school in America and other places, you would think that African Americans play no part, Asians or China, Chinese or Japanese, no one else, people from India, no one else in the world played any role in inventing anything or doing anything, because everything is about European. Now, I want you to get this straight. How that name white, what it was, how when they became to be called white people, and why they were called white people. In 1681, they were called white people because there were more slave and indentured servants, poor white people. There were more poor white people and slaves in America than there were rich white people. And for the rich white people to be stay in power and not be turned on and the wealth taken from them, what they did was created you white and gave them privilege, the poor white privileges. And after they gave them that, they called themselves white people to keep the blacks and the poor whites from coming together like they, like we should be doing right now, and not allowing the 1% of the population to rule this country. And that's who rule the country, the 1%. These billionaires, that's who rule this country right now. And they're still using that, and not just blacks, but it's middle class Europeans or whites, or poor whites. You still running behind the same dumb mistake you made in the 1600s. You're allowing them to separate you. You're not getting rich. You still are poor. Your grandparents was poor, and your great-great-grandparents were poor, and you're still poor. But the rich continue to get rich, and the poor continue to get poor. And then they keep you against black people, like black people going to take your job. Black people never going to wasn't taking your job. They always had the heart. They was the one to build America. So no, let us be truthful in nature and tell the truth. Where did a man start? How did people look, the first humans look? Where did it come from? And I want to tell you that the origin of man came from, and you can look it up, the origin of mankind, and you'll find out that it came from sub-Saharan Africa. And that's what I've always tried to tell, so we could feel good about ourselves. The reason why we're in the shape we're in today is we have allowed them to tell us in America, since we living in this Eurocentric world, when they defined beauty, beauty was defined as a beautiful lady. She had to have blonde hair, blue eyes, and she had to be not cream color, but flesh color, because they don't have a color. So flesh color, albino-like person. Really, that's all they are, like albino. And so that was what was beauty. And so for hundreds and hundreds of years, they have taught that to our children, our great-great-grandparents, and all the way through us, even to the day. That defines beauty. That's why all the big-time athletes, and if they get money, they run and get them a white woman, because that's beauty. Not knowing that they have the beautifulest women on the planet come from Africa, are women of color. But we don't see it, because he who write the narrative, he who write the book, he who write the plan, make things be beautiful, make it be right, and make it be the way that they want you to see it. And so they show pictures of white women with blue eyes and blonde hair, and they say, she's knockout gorgeous. And guess what? That's what they show on the magazines and everything, the models. Since black women are curvy, they put a little skinny white lady up, and that's beauty. And so all this has been intentionally done to give you low self-esteem. You don't know anything about it. And the reason I'm here tonight is because in the past, The only thing that you know about is slavery. The only thing that you know about is slavery. I want you to understand what I'm saying. We know from slavery to now, but we have a very rich heritage and past. We come and we stand on the shoulders of kings. We stand on the shoulders of our great ancestors who was able to take all the punishment that could be issued out and still survive. Now, I want you to understand that the origin of mankind, if you want to look where mankind came from, all you don't have to do nothing but look it up. All mankind came from Africa, and I'm going to answer some questions. You're going to want to know why we're different complexions and why things look different and why different structures of our body features are different, but they're really not different. I want you to understand that when you start studying anthropology, which the study of mankind, where mankind came from, and you're going to look up and under us, a lady that they call Lucy, maybe 3.18 million years ago. Lucy is Australopithecus, Afrocinus, a fossil skeleton that was found in Ethiopia in 1974. Now, this was a skeleton of a female, and she was found by Don Johansson and Tom Gray. They were looking for fossils, but they came up in rocks, and they came up on the discovery of this fossil, and they named her Lucy because at that time, many of you who are very young don't know anything about. They had this group coming out of Great Britain called the Beatles, out of Europe, the Beatles. And they had a hit record with Lucy. So they named this black lady Lucy. And she's one of the oldest remains they've ever found. And so they know that if you want to find the oldest fossils that have been found, you go to Africa. You don't go to Europe and other places. You go to Africa. And also, some of your other top paleontologists or philanthropists, like Mary Douglas Leakey and Louis Leakey, they were the ones that discovered the first fossil of proconsul skull, and that they say that this is the skull of an ape, which is now believed to be the ancestors of a human. Now, they found this robust discovery, and they call it Zinzanthropus, and Zinzanthropus deal with that's northeast Africa. The skull that they found was in the Odiv Gorge in Tanzania in East Africa. And they found several archaeological, anthropological, and fossils of ancient apes and ancient humans in the Odiv Gorge. While excavating the Odiv Gorge in Africa, and they did that in 1960. But now they found, even back then, they found pottery that dates back to when they figured man wouldn't be able to make pottery or arrowheads and many other things. They found these things back during that time. But all of this was found in Africa. And so I want you to understand, life as we know it and humans as we know them is not a monkey, but humans as we know them today, it all originated in Africa. And that's something that we need to be proud of. It didn't originate in Europe. And I'm going to tell you, I'll get to the fact when man traveled from Africa, because you could Google it and find out whatever. You could use Chrome, Google, or you could go on your internet and look up when mankind left Africa, and they'll tell you about 70,000 years that went into what Asia, and then later about 40,000 years they traveled to Europe, and there was an Asia like China and India. Then later on, about 40,000 years they go, they made it to Europe. But anyway, we need to learn about these things because life started with us. But now, the ones that I'm quoting, the who I was talking about, who found Lucy, Australopithecus, they were Caucasian. They were white. Dawn Johansson and Tom Gray, they're white, who found this this fossil that's 3.18 million years old, which is Lucy. These are Caucasian, and Lewis and Mary Douglas Leakey, both of those are Caucasian, but all these great individuals found what they wanted to find. They found it in Africa. That's where they did the research. And even right now, even to this day, you know, we have DNA, Ancestry.com, and all these other things that, well, we're very heavy on DNA. Well, it does not matter if you are from China, Russia, Japan, Vietnam, Korea, Hawaii, the Americas, Africa, wherever you come from, you could trace your DNA back in the maternal inheritance of what your mitochondrial DNA. You could trace that back. That's within our cells of all humans, the theoretical common ancestor. And this theoretical ancestor is known as mitochondrial Eve. You know, like we have Adam and Eve. They say that this one mitochondria means this female, that everybody on the planet could trace their DNA back to mitochondrial Eve. And she lived in Africa between 100 to 200,000 years ago in South Africa. Now listen to what they want to say. They say she was not the first human, but every other female lineage eventually had no female offspring, failing to pass on the mitochondrial DNA. As a result of all humans today can trace their mitochondrial DNA back to her from the maternal part. By being the motherly great-grandparent or human, they traced this woman from Africa. They say within her DNA now and that of her peers exists all the genetic variation we see in contemporary humans since Eve time. Since 200,000 years ago, everybody living today carried her DNA, and she was a black African woman. They say the difference in the population of the human, that how we drifted apart genetically and formed distinct ethnic groups, even to this very day, all of us carry her mitochondrial DNA. And what's ironic about it, now that's over 200,000 years ago. Now, and when you look at Jesus was only what? 2,000 years ago, but I'm talking about 200,000 years ago. Now, they found the skeletal or fossil remains of a man who died somewhere about 315 years before Christ. They found his skeletal remains in South Africa. And when they did the DNA testing on this man, they found out that he's the closest relative yet to the known humanity common to the female ancestral mitochondrial Eve. He is the closest relative to Eve. Now they know that he was a fisherman living close to the coast of South Africa and was a close genetic match to Eve. Now, where they found this skeletal, fossils of this human, they call it St. Helen Bay in South Africa. And it was found by archaeologist Andrew Smith of the University of Cape Town. Now, we need to understand that The cradle of civilization or humanity is in sub-Saharan Africa. And to have our DNA sequenced, we'll find that most of us, that if they date back, like for myself, I had a DNA, not from DNA.com. What I had mine was done, I did one by National Geographic, and it showed those very areas that my people, DNA results that went up to Ethiopia, but that was so many hundreds of thousands of years ago. But I also had them around Zimbabwe and around that area, and that's in South Africa, on the area they found mitochondria E. But then I had where a lot of the slave come from on the Gold Coast, where they had Yoruba and the Igbos and the Benai and Nigerian, all of that is right together, and Ghana. But then I had about from 9-11% Great Britain, and I know where that came from. That came through slavery time. Now, I was telling you that man originated in Africa, but at the same time, I know that there's some questions that plaguing that's going on right now. And I know that you're saying to yourself, well, what happened to how people end up being, people come from black folk, how they have white people in the world, and the people in Europe white, and their hair different, their noses are different, and things like that. But the furthest the hair and the nose, I want to tell you something about that. It's not really that different, especially the noses. If you look at the noses, there's some of the Egyptians who were African. You could go to the Sudan, the darkest people on the planet. Most of them, and if you go to Kenya and you go to the Sudan and you go to different places, you'll find out most of them have pointed nose and on the East Africa coast. Now, there are those who have broader noses like myself and came, you know, and a whole lot of our people came from West Africa. And some of the Africans from East Africa carry that same wide nose, and some have really pointed nose. The hair texture is different. Now, I want you to understand this. All Africans do not have curly hair. All do not have curly hair. Some Africans, let me get this straight with you. There are Africans that are not dark skinned. They're brown skinned, light brown skinned, and have never been interbreeded. Africans come in different complexions, according to way the area, the further away from the equator, the lighter they could get. And that's something to think about. Now, I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that we all came from that, but the way we look has nothing to do with that. But now the skin color has something to do with it. And I will explain that to you by genetics. Now, there's a guy, if you want to write it down, is Gregoire Mendel, M-E-N-D-E-L, Mendel. And he's called the father of genetics, and our genetic markers are what we're made up of. And these are things, our genetic markers come by, that we inherited from what's passed on from our people. Now, in genetics, the inheritance involve the passing of discrete units of inheritance in our genes from parent to parent to offspring. Mendel even found out how to do it with plants. But I want you to understand, Mendel had this thing where he made a chart. And he said that dark skin or black skin and brown skin is dominant genes. Then he said, brown eyes is dominant gene. Then he came along and he says that light skin is recessive, and blue eyes come from recessive gene. Now listen to what in reality they're saying, because if you look up at what something that someone says something is dominant, you say it's superior, and recessive means lower. Now, they said that dark skin is superior. In other words, if you were to change dominant to what the word defined, it's superior. And light skin is like subpar. Brown eyes are dominant. Blue eyes are subpar. Now, you could now, and then he said, now listen at this, and then you won't say how this come about. When they came out of Africa, it went with the law of independence. Now, I want you to understand that the reason that we're different colors, and the reason we're different colors is this. After modern humans established themselves in Africa, smaller population branched out just 7,000 years ago and established foothold in Asia before spreading to East Europe and the remaining, and then going to East and West into the Americas. But when they went and they left out of the very hot weather right around the equator, which made them dark, you find any race of people, a group of individuals that live along the equator, you know, the equator, they are dark-skinned people. It's hot in the sunshine. It is hot. Okay, when they moved into Europe, the further they got away from the equator, the weather was cold. And they went through what you call, and you can look up the mutation. And all that they're saying, what a mutation is, the change of a structure of a gene resulting in a variant from that may be transmitted to subsequent generation caused by the alteration of single base units of DNA or depletion. Insertion or arrangement of a large section of gene. Now, we have to also understand a mutation, ultimately, the only way in which new creations enter the species. So the way the newly species of white folk came about was through a mutation, and they say a depletion of a DNA. What is the depletion? The depletion is melanin. God created man to have melanin, to have color. And when you take the melanin out and different vitamins out and the eyes turn different colors and different things, that is through a mutation. You can look it up. You know, they had these mutants that human beings that they show on television, they call them mutants, and they had gills like a fish, and they was green like, and they look different colors. But they're only showing you really that would be only like what you call that, Wi-Fi, you know, like not Wi-Fi, but anyway, it would be like some movie, that space age movie to show you about different mutations. But I would like to tell you, you know, that Gregoire Mendel, the father of genetics, he called it Mendel's Law, Three Laws. He said the law of independent assortment. And when people separate it and go into their own group, and if you get a group of people, right now you could get a group of number real dark-skinned black people to leave Africa and go live in Russia. Their skin color changed, their hair color changed. After so many years being there, they would go through a different mutation. They would change. And then, but they were carried on that same gene. Some would still be dark and some would change. And then they say the law of dominance. And the dominant law of dominance means whoever live in a certain area, after their changes start looking a certain way, that's the way they do. And the law of segregation comes up if you just live on a continent. But all dark people, most of the people that come out is going to be dark. But at the same time, when you're dealing with genetics, now listen to this, when you're dealing with genetics, now if brown and black people are dominant, you could take two black or two brown-skinned people, out of that you could get albino, somebody that looked white. But you cannot take two recessive genes. See, you could take two dominants and get someone to come up with a mutation of a recessive gene, which is albino. But now you can't take two people from a recessive gene, which is white folk, and make a black child. But you could take two black folk and make a white child. It'll be called albino. Now, I've been trying to say this, and I say it often on this show about that albino part. Why, if you have a white catfish, it's albino catfish. I'm from Louisiana, white alligator. They call it albino, a white tiger, it's albino tiger, white lion, albino. All these animals, species, when they come up and they're white, they say albino. But why they don't call Caucasians albino? But I understand the answer, because that would make them say they lack a lower form, and they would not like that to be known and things, because they are so used to practicing being racist. See, a racist is when you think that you are superior and another race is inferior. Okay, so they think that they are superior. That's why they don't like Asians. That's why they don't like Hispanic Mexicans. That's why they don't like African Americans. That's why they don't like indigenous people, who they call Indians. That, so you don't like anybody in the world that you go around. Something is wrong with everybody but you. Now, I want us to understand this, too. Now, going toward the Bible now, I have to touch on the Bible, because I want to give you a very, very good look at it. They had a saying in the Bible that man was cursed to be black, but that's not true. That's nowhere in your Bible that a man was cursed to be black. The Bible says, and say, Ham was cursed. There's nowhere in your Bible that Ham was cursed. In Genesis, the chapter where they say he looked on his father's nakedness, the Bible say he said, cursed be the Canaan. But he did not say what the curse was going to be. He just said that Canaan, he didn't do say Ham. Ham is the progenitor of the dark race. Now, I'm going to give you certain things, and we're going to look at it, and I want you to understand, Europeans came up with this slave thing, and they wanted to, when they was rewriting the Bible, the King James Version, and they wanted to make everything good. Now, it was Pope Nicholas VI who signed a referendum for slavery. Now, I want you to understand that there's no way in the Bible was stated that blacks are a curse. Black skin is a curse. Now, there is a place in the Bible where a person were cursed, and they were cursed to be white, left white, in your Bible. Now, you could find that. I could find that for you in the Bible, and that would come from 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and the 27th verse. Now, you could look it up yourself. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter and the 27th verse. This is the only place in the Bible where a man was cursed to be a color. And it talks about Naaman. They say, Naaman's leprosy will cling to you and to your descendants forever. And the Bible declared Jehoshaphat went from Elisha's presence, and his skin was leper white. As white as snow. Now that, they say, him and all his descendants forever. That's in 2 Kings. There is no curse for a person to be black. In Genesis 9:25, where it says about him looking on the nakedness, but God said, cursed be the Canaan. He never said he cursed Ham to be black. But it did have a place where the curse of Naaman came there, and the person had to be leper white. Now, that is biblical. So when people are telling you that you're not a curse or anything like that, and you played a very great part in the Bible. Now, I want you to understand that in the Bible, if you study your Bible, you're going to find out, just look at where the Garden of Eden was located. They say the Bible, Eden was located where there was a river that turned into four heads. And they start naming. They say one river was Dion, the other the Pishon, the Hiddekel, and the Euphrates. Okay, now, first of all, the first two rivers that they named was the Dion and the Pishon. Well, ironically, if you do your homework, you will find out that the Gihon and the Pishon River is the Nile River. And then they say it encompassed the land of Havilah, talking about West Beldonium and Oxford, Ethiopia. And then it talks about how it encompassed the land of Somaliland, which is Somalia. All of this, Northeast Africa. Now, then it talks about the Hiddekel. Now, they claim the Hiddekel is today's Tigris River, which is over in Iraq, and we know that the Euphrates River runs through Iraq. But I would indulge you with me to tell you that the landmass, what is what they call the Red Sea and the Gulf of Suez, landmasses were joined. And simple as this saying, I can't say that the Hiddekel is the Tigris is the Hiddekel, because the Bible declares that the Hiddekel River ran east and west. And if you look at the map of over in Iraq today, it runs north and south parallel to the Tigris River. But nevertheless, them to have the elephant, the lion, tigers, bears, giraffe, every animal to be in the garden in the world, it couldn't be a small country. And if you think that it wasn't Africa, you could find just about every animal, largest animal, and every animal on the continent of Africa. You don't find the lions, the tigers, and you don't find the cheetahs and the jaguars and the hyenas and hippos and the rhinoceros and the elephant and giraffe, and all these animals are in Africa. Many more, all types of gorillas and chimpanzees and you name it. They have just about every animal, type animal you want to find. And they're found in Africa. Now, I just showed you that they went back millions of years and said that's why the origin of man. They even gave this lady named Mitochondria Eve, because they say we all carry her DNA, just like we say Eve is the mother of all mankind. They said that Adam called his wife Eve, so she'll be the mother of all mankind. Now, I want you to understand this now. Adam called her Eve, but if you go to Genesis, the fifth chapter, and the second verse, God named both of them Adam. Adam means mankind. This says, God said he created he them male and female, and he created them and called their name Adam in the time in which they were created. Now, that's what God said about Adam and Eve. He called both of them men, but the Bible declared that Adam called her Eve, that she'll be the mother of all of us. Now, so if this lady, Mitochondria Eve, all of us have genetic connection, everybody, I don't care if you're from North Korea, South Korea, I don't care if you're from Vietnam, I don't care if you're from Brazil, I don't care if you're from China, I don't care if you're from Canada, Netherlands, wherever, Alaska, everybody carries her DNA marker, Mitochondria Eve. Now, I want you to do this, too. I always tell you about this, because this is something distinct. And, you know, we say, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28:16 that the children of Israel would go back into bondage by ships and be sold.
Now, the only people that ever went in bondage by fear are the blacks in America today. And for years, people have been saying that we are the true Hebrews. Now, those are supposed to be the Hebrew garden in the bondage. But then when I found out that the Zondervan Bible Dictionary tells you that blacks are the real Hebrews. Now, if you read what it says, Zondervan Bible Dictionary, and you look up the definition of Ham, and they'll say that Ham, they'll tell you that Ham was the youngest son born to Noah probably 96 years before the flood, and one of the eight persons to live through the flood. He became the progenitor of the race. And they talk about he was the progenitor of Ethiopia, Egypt, Libya, and Canaan. Now, Canaan is the Canaan land is the Holy Land. But the most important, they say, but he was not the progenitor of the Negroes. Now, you know, Negroes are dark race, but they say he is not the progenitor or the father of the Negro race. When blacks first came to America, and when I was growing up, and I can remember in the early 60s, in the late 50s and early 60s, they called us Negroes. But that was the name, Negro. Wasn't black. You know, I guess that was the offspring of the N-word, but they called us Negro. But the Bible said, now this Bible dictionary said that Ham is not the progenitor, so that makes you be Shemites. Because those are Japheth that went up into Europe and formed the Caucasian race. So there's so much that we have to do. And don't let anybody say we were not seafaring people. Because we was in America long before Caucasians or Europeans or Spaniards or the people, France sent people over here. They had blacks in here in the Americas before the birth of Christ, and they call the OL-MEC people, Olmec people. And the Olmec colossal heads are made of stone, and some they run from 9 feet tall to 14 feet tall. And the Lord, they call the Lord basalt boulders. And they tell you about them. Some of them, they run from 900 years before Christ to 1200 years B.C. Man, they tell you straight, the Olmec is a civilization of ancient Mesoamerica, meaning down to a South America. Some are in Mexico, Levanter, San Lorenz, La Paz, Veracruz, Tabasco, and they said some day back to 1200 BCE before the Christ era, and some on 400 years BCE before Christ era. And it's a total of 17 colossal heads that discovered to this date. And matter of fact, 10 of them are in St. Lorenz, 4 of them is in Levanter, and in the Andes Mountains in South America, you can find them. In the Andes Mountains. And if you look at the colossal head, they got this big old broad nose with only Africans have, big lips and things. And so you know who the people whose pictures they were picturing that they made. There's so much more stuff that I could tell you right now dealing with the Bible. But I will tell you this before we start taking on some questions, that if you read your Bible and you go to the Tower of Babel, you'll find out that Japheth, which was supposed to be the father of the Caucasian race, went into Europe 2,000, maybe 2,800 years before Christ's birth. So when that Caucasian left out the Bible,
The only people left in the Bible were black people. They were the Hamites and the Shemites. They don't come back. So you say from the time of the Tower of Babylon, around the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, until the prophets start talking about the Romans coming in, and that's the 400 years of silence. And then they say about 300 and some years the Greeks came in under Alexander the Great, and about 190-something years, 168 to 198 years, the Romans came in before Christ. So they stayed out of the Bible over 2,000 years. They don't have no mention of them in the Bible. But they do have mention of you in the Bible. That's all the people that was married. The children of Israel, of all of them were dark skin, all of them were black anyway, the Hebrews. But they only married Hamites. You ever thought about these things? And like I said, I'm going to go put forth some questions. I have so much more material I could give. You ever thought along these lines? Well, when Abraham came, he came from Ur of the Chaldees to Mesopotamia. And that was about 5,000 years ago. If you trace it back, it was a Sumerian civilization. If you look up what color was the Sumer, they'll tell you chocolate with stewed nose. I mean, you know what color chocolate is, and you know a stewed nose means thick. Okay, but Abraham, he come from, and it was called the land of Nimrod, and Nimrod is the grandson of Ham, and they tell you that Ham is the progenitor of the dark race. So Abraham, he comes, and he comes through. And the first place he traveled, he went through, he stopped in the land. He go to the Holy Land as a family. But then he go to Egypt. You know, you just wasn't going to strange places, okay, unless you were trading. And he goes there, and he wanted to stay there, but he lied to Pharaoh, that Pharaoh was his sister, which she was really his sister, but she was his wife too. But nevertheless, he left. But then you're going to jump forward to Joseph. Joseph was sold into bondage into Egypt by his brother. This before Moses. When Joseph's brother didn't see him for about 16 years, and Joseph became the governor, like the governor of Egypt, his brother said that he was an Egyptian. Now, be it may, you looking at Arab people that's living in Egypt now. All you have to do is look at how dark the pictures of the pyramids are. They're either black or dark brown on inside the pyramid. Some of them, the color peel, and they made them turn that kind of white like now. But if you look up the different dynasties, you'll find out who they were. And so now Joseph passed for black. Moses, when during that, so about 400 years later, a little later than that, Moses come about. They had been in bondage for all this time. So here go Moses come along. With at Moses' birth, Pharaoh, no, they said a new Pharaoh, somebody was going to be born a Pharaoh coming from the Jews, going to be a king. So so this African king say, kill all the firstborn Israelites, the children of Israel, Hebrews, that come from the birthing school. Not just the king. But Moses ended up being raised with a baby. Moses ended up being raised in the king's house at the king. The same person they killed was raised in the king's house. Why? Because they all looked alike. Then you wouldn't have been able to know a Hebrew child from an Egyptian child. All of them were black. Case in point, when Moses killed the Egyptian and ran off, and he went to the land of Midian, his wife Zipporah, she was an Ethiopian, and she told her father Reuel that they found an Egyptian. She didn't say any other thing because the Egyptian was, I just told you, that what was the progenitor of the Egyptian was Ham, meaning the black race. Well, Hamite, the word Ethiopia, they call it Ethiopian Cush. Kush means burnt face, meaning like the sun to burn you a certain color. And be it if you're the real name for Egypt was Metharim, but they called the people Kemet. The word Kim means black. So now when you're putting all that together, they're all in married and all these people married. So now you jump to when they were freed, they're going around and you get to Judah. Judah married Tamar, which was, she was a Canaanite, but she was a lady, a black lady. Judah's son married her, and he died, but Judah saw her dressed and veiled in the Bible, and he gave, and she was veiled, he didn't know who he was. That was his daughter-in-law. He had sex with her. She bared two kids. Now, this is a black woman. She bared twins for him, Zerah and Perez. Out of Perez is the genealogy of Jesus. Out of Perez came a son named Hezron. Hezron had a son. Now, this is black. Now, Hezron had a son named Salmon. Salmon married the black prostitute Rahab, the Canaanite woman. Salmon married her. And I know you hear the story about Boaz, because Boaz married Ruth. Ruth begot Obed, Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. David even went further and married, David went on and he married another black woman, and he came up with Solomon. All the way through, there's always been there's never been a white person that really belongs in the Holy Land. Those people who you see today are really not Hebrew. They're taking up the Jewish culture. If you want to look it up, and I need to stop because my time has run out. But when you get a chance to, I would like for you to look up Gama Abdul Nasser again. Look up the speech of Gamal Abdel Nasser. The speech of Gamal Abdel Nasser. Y'all want you to look up his speech in 1952. What he made to the whole, the world. He was on national television. And he made this speech in 1952. And if you look up Gamal Abdel Nasser's speech, and what you're going to find is what he said. And when you find out what he presented to the people and what he told them, he said, we the Arab people refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. How can a man leave black and come back white? We refuse to accept them. In other words, he said that the people over there were white now. How can a person leave a country being a black person? And nothing but white people show back up there. So Abdel Nasser said that's why no one want to accept those people that's there in that country right now, because they say they have no right to the country. It's because they are not the real Hebrew. And so if you look at the name is Gamal Abdel Nasser, and he wrote that speech in 1952. You could Google it. You could go online, and you could look it up. He was the president of Egypt before Anwar Sadat. His name Gamal Abdel Nasser. So when you get these opportunities, look these things up, because it's very important that we learn these things, because we learn better and we can feel better about ourselves and what part we played in the Bible. We learned that we played a part, or the part we played in the Bible, and also the part we played in the history and the shaping of America. And we're going to get to the part where we get to the shaping of America. Now, if you want to know how to spell that, Gamal is G-A-M-A-L, Gamal. Abdel is A-B-D-E-L. Nasser is N-A-S-S-E-R. You want his speech in 1952. He talks about the European claiming to be Jews and are not that they're no more than Hebrew-speaking Gentiles? And he said, how can you leave white and come back black? He's the second president of the Republic of Egypt. So when you get opportunity, look that up. I'm going to open up now for Q&A, question and answer. If you have any question you'd like to ask pertaining to the subject dealing with, if it's even dealing with genetics, if it's dealing with anthropology, I've studied it pretty good, and it could be dealing with the Bible, because my PhD is in theology, and I've did a lot of research and things on anthropology because I'm a very inquisitive person. So it's open now.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kim, for a very powerful show being brought to you by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College. So God bless everybody that's holding on. The lines are open for you now. If you have a question, a comment, or a statement with Dr. Kim, the line is open for you now. Good evening, and God bless you. Welcome to the show.
Well, let's say good evening to everybody. You, Pastor William, and to my dean,
God bless.
Pastor Kemp.
God bless you.
To
God
all
bless
of those
you.
That are listening in radio land, and mainly to my daddy, which art in heaven. Pastor, I was just listening attentively this time for some reason because I had... You notice how I tell you often, I keep going back to the book of Genesis. I went back last night. It's like something is drawing me there. And what you spoken tonight about our history, I'm inclined to disagree with you wholeheartedly, 100%. So much stuff has been hidden from us. You've always told me at the seminary, Melvin, and you out there in radio land, he won't tell me nothing. He always just tell me to Google it, go research. He makes me work. But it's paying off because, I mean, at my age, 70 years old, I didn't think I could learn. I am learning so much that is really important to me as a black man. Now, Pastor, what you have said these few months about the black part we played, and then my studying geographically in the Bible, I keep, it's not confusing, it's almost like, I keep putting my finger up under my chin and say, wow, it's things that are being revealed to me in chapter 1 and 2. I read all that stuff, but I'm way back in chapter 1 and 2. There is so much. Pastor, remember I used to use this word, read between the lines, when I was in college, and you gave me another word. No, Brother Melvin, is I forgot that word you gave me. But
implicit and explicit.
That's it. See, I'm not ashamed to say what I don't know. That's the way you learn. I mean, if you're ashamed to ask questions, that's you. I'm going to ask what I don't know. I don't mind. I don't care what you say about me. But then, when I studied in Genesis, and then I listened at you, and then one night we have here, we got LPB, we got PBS, Public Broadcasting State of Louisiana Broadcasting, and say, those stations are powerful. And I look at them a lot. One night I was scanning, and something stopped me, which I know was my Lord, my daddy. And I started looking at it, and I said, wait a minute, what are these people talking about? We have found evidence, the origin of man. Now, these white people now, we've got through research we've found, we think, where the origin of man originated. And guess what word they use? You won't believe it. Ethiopia. No,
yeah.
You ain't just born this. You just lied. You just been hiding it from us and Pastor Wood. And you brought it out. And I said, wow, look at this thing. So what I'm looking at, Pastor, is the research that you've done and the history you've given us, and then I'm looking at the Genesis, what I've been reading, the geographical location of the creation, and then I'm listening to what you white folks saying. We've got reason to believe that the ordinary man started in Ethiopia. It put validity on everything you've been saying. Now, if you can tie this thing together and give me some more, I'm listening.
Okay. If you listen at earlier, I was talking about earlier when I praised Duff and Duff current events and began to talk, I was talking about about Luther. 3.18 million years ago, there was a fossil found of a little lady, African lady, and it was found in the southern part of Ethiopia, down going to the Nubia, the Sudan. And they found the fossil, and listen, I say, it was 3.18 million years ago. 3,180,000 years ago, they found this fossil, a proconsul. They said they gave her name, the name Lucy.
What is
they
fossil
gave her the name?
What does fossil mean?
That skeletal remains.
Okay, I got you.
They might find a jaw in the head and things like that. They came up, they were hunting for different other objects, and they came up on Lucy, different parts of Lucy. They came up with not the total body, but most of the body of Lucy, skeleton.
Okay.
And then later on, earlier before then, you had Mendel, but during that time, you had Professor Leakey. Professor Leakey and his wife, Mary Leakey, they were down a little bit further south around Tanzania in the old Deep Guard. And they found some people that dates back to about a million years. And they found out they had arrowheads, and they were much more intelligent than they ever saw. And so when they're really looking for the oldest fossils in the world, they go to Africa. And then they even go further when I was telling you about this lady that was bound to a South Africa who is Mitochondria Eve. When they took her DNA from her skeletal, they found out that everybody today carry her DNA. You have it. I have it. Every white person, I don't care where you live all over the world, you could be a Chinese, a Vietnamese, you could acquire, no matter where you go, everybody carry her, so that their life had to originate from her. So they gave her the name Mitochondria Eve, like Eve in the Bible, supposed to be the mother of all living. When Adam called his wife Eve because she would be the mother of all living. And I also told you that if you read your Bible, you'll find out that they say in the Garden of Eden it came from one river branched off in the full head. If you look up where's the Hidikio, not the Hidikio, but if you look up and you look up different rivers, you're going to find out the Guyon and the Pishon, it's the Nile. You have the White Nile, the Blue Nile, and some say Abyssinia River. They don't know. Now, the Abyssinia River could be the Hidikio, but that's in Africa, and they tell you that those rivers encompass the land of Havilah, which is the son of Cush. That means Ethiopia, and then they say Somaliland means Somalia, and all that's in Africa. And then so God had to encompass Africa as well, that they use the Euphrates River, and that's over toward Iraq. So it had to be big, because I was talking about they had to have every type animal, and you can't have every type animal in a small place. Right. And if you ever notice the giraffe, the rhino, the hippo, the lions, every animal, just about every animal you want to name live in Africa.
Yes, sir.
They have more
That would be, would that be what they are saying, the origin of man? That's the word I'm looking at. They use word, the origin of man.
Origin means, that means where did man originate from.
Okay. Well, I got you now.
Where did the first man come from? And they said he come from Africa, and he looked like you.
Yeah.
He went through.
Yeah.
Pastor
Will, this is a good show. I see everybody out there in radio land, you need to pass the word, especially if you are black, and learn whether we, I mean, I'm wholeheartedly interested. I want to know. At 70 years old, this stuff is very interesting to me. I think it's my day to lead me this way. But it's fun and it's interesting. I want to know what part I played in the Bible. Thank you guys for allowing me to share that and ask that question.
God bless you. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you. The line is still open. If there are any more questions or statements, comments for Dr. Kemp, the line is open for you. God bless. Welcome to the show. Good evening. All right, well, we thank you for calling in and listening. I hope you took some notes and wrote everything down since you don't have any questions. I guess you got it. But keep listening. We're here every Tuesday. All right, the mic is yours, Pastor.
Okay, I would want to just say God bless each and every one. I have a brother that's very ill, and I would like to ask, his name is Samuel Kemp, that those who are listening would lift him up in prayer. And God bless each and every one of you guys. The reason I do what I do, because I know that our African-American children, we have very low self-esteem. I don't care if you're a lawyer, engineer, although you, because you've been taught from before you start school on that blacks never did anything. So you're saying I'm living in this white culture where blacks never did anything. And each night, Reverend Williams tell you about inventions and things that blacks have done. And the reason he does it, too, is to let you know that we did this. We made this. We did the red light. We did the elevator. We did the cell phone. We invented cars. We typewriters, air conditioned refrigerators. The iron, the machine that show multiple-dude shoes, all these things, commodes, hair straightening combs, you name it. There's so many inventions that we invented, but that haven't been not being taught to white kids in school and not being taught to our children. So our children look upon themselves as nothing, because everything that ever was invented or anything that was good. Like, you couldn't have a telephone without a transmitter. The transmitter on the telephone is what you hear now, being able to hear a person talk. That's your transmitter. The other one is a receptor, a receiver, and that's how you hear the person. But the transmitter kind was invented by a black person. Even on the knee, or those who are like my age, and I'm not going to tell your age, Pastor Williams, and Minister Adam, but you know what a phonograph needle is, the needle that makes the music talk. Back then, that was invented by a black person. So when you talk about the elevator, the red light, and stuff like that, all these things, all this stuff was made by us. All the stuff that you and that white people are enjoying today, you couldn't live. I know if you live in the South, you couldn't live without an air conditioner, okay? That was by us, okay? You couldn't ride the street without a red light, okay? You couldn't go up 103rd building, 43rd building like we have in our city without an elevator. So it's incumbent upon us to understand just what we've done. And just about every person, so many millions of people on a cell phone. A black did that. Now, they say Edison did the light. Edison invented a light bulb that flashed on for a few minutes and it went out. Now, Lattimore did the filament and made it stay on for months. So what you want, a light bulb that flash on only for 2 minutes, you couldn't even watch the commercial with Edison's light bulb. But when Lattimore did it, you could watch that television or you could light be on for months. Amen. So
amen.
But this is not being taught to white kids, so white kids think they're superior because they don't know nothing that white blacks have done. But they're written about it, but they don't make it like you have core courses in school. I mean, mandatory courses. See, it's mandatory that we take a lie and learn lies. Columbus discovered America. White people are good people, came to America, and savages were over here. No, a bunch of savages came from Europe and killed the Native Americans, took their land and went over, and then captured some people, brought them in as slaves, beat them, raped them, worked them from sun up to sun down to build America. That's the people. So there were savages that came over here. It wasn't nothing good about them, and the Constitution didn't relate to us. So it's time that we reteach real courses in school instead of this whitewash stuff. And I always say these words, and I know Brother Melvin know what I'm talking about. He who write the narrative to make the be the people good or bad, make them be the color they want them to be. And so they write the book. They have NBC and ABC, CBS, Fox, MSNBC. They've got the media. They could put it out the way they want to and make the ones look bad who they want to look bad and the ones look good who they want to look good. So this is what you're dealing with in America. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we come in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Father, we come to just say thank you. Thank you for all the good things that you've done for us, past, present, and future. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We just love you, Lord. And, Lord, there's so much going on, but, Lord, we know, Lord, that you say you'll never leave us nor forsake us. And I know, Lord, for a fact, further than a whispered prayer, Lord, I just want to say God bless Brother Melvin, that God bless Pastor Williams, Lord. Keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger. Keep all those who are listening right now on this radio broadcast who are listening, and keep them from all hurt, harm, and danger. Build them up, Lord, where they are torn down. Strengthen them, Lord, where they are weak. Lord, we ask that you will continue to protect them from seen and unseen danger, Lord. Lead and guide them in the way that they should go. Make our lives more like the life of Christ, Lord. And, Lord, you said that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's time that we really learn the truth about ourselves, who we are and whose we are. I don't know about anybody else. I know who I am, and I know whose I am. I'm a son of the King, Jesus the Christ. I know who I am, and I know which way I want to go. So, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I pray for my brother, Lord, and he's been on a ventilator, Lord, but I know you got him. I know you got him. And I know, Lord, regardless of how things come out, he in good hands because he know who you are. Now, Lord, I just thank you. And again, Lord, for all my brothers and sisters out there, and I'm not just saying black brothers and sisters because I don't care what color you're. I don't care if you're rich, poor, black, yellow, purple, green color, whatever color you are. We are all children of the Most High God. And so I don't hate you. I only want to tell the truth about what's been hidden from African-American for so long. Lord, I thank you, and I praise you, Lord. And again, Lord, uplift and elevate Pastor William and all these ministries that he's trying to do to help people. And, Lord, help him to be successful in all his endeavors. I ask all these blessings in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And for his sake, amen. God bless everybody, black, white, rich, poor. I love all y'all, and there's nothing you could ever do about it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor, and thank you very much. We'll see everybody tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time for Breaking Chains. Be here at the same station. We're going to break chains. Tonight's show is being brought to you by the United Theological Seminary and Bible College in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Have yourself a blessed night. We love you, and ain't nothing you could do about
nothing
it.
Nothing you could do about it.
Nothing. Love you, Pastor. Good night, everybody. Be blessed.
Love you. Much
we
love,
thank you
my
for
brother.
Taking a listen this evening. Love, you've been listening to History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp right here on Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Heard every Tuesday right here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. YAT Radio logs on to leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence, teaching you about who you are and whose you are. It's History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp every Tuesday on YAT Radio, where we are breaking chains.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.